All right, we are live. We are live. Happy Pentecost. Sunek Shavuot. Oh, I forgot you guys are heroes. Sunek Shavuot HaKol Olam. Y'all don't know that? Elohim Tov. Kol Hazman. See, I tried to switch it on you guys. Like, we know one thing, and that's it. All right.
Amen.
It is Shavuot. Well, as of this evening, it will be Pentecost. It will be Shavuot, a very important day. One of God's feast days. Very important feast days. Weddings take place on Pentecost. It has happened before, and I pray that it will happen again.
Dr. Barry said,
hallelujah, Dr. Barry. And we are here, and someone called me and said, well, it's Pentecost is Sunday. And I was like, I know. She's like, you think it's going to happen? I was like, I'm not even planning on being there tomorrow, so I don't even have a message. I didn't have a message because I was like, I'm going to sleep. I don't think I'm going to be there tomorrow. I think, like, because it'll be Sunday in Israel before it's Sunday here. And I'm like, God, it's on Israel's time. I'm out of here. I'll tell them goodbye some other time. But no, then about 3 o'clock in the morning, the Lord gave me a message. I was like, ah. So I knew I had to get up and get dressed. So praise God.
From South Africa and from the UK, from Nevada. Shalom.
All right. Shalom, South Africa, UK, and Nevada.
Amen.
Ooh, I was in a good part of Nevada. They are. Now, I don't even have my microphone on, Pastor Ben. You didn't let me know. Okay.
Michigan and Alabama chiming in.
All right. My dad's from Dothan, but I am not Alabama. Here we go.
Cocoa Beach in Oklahoma.
We got all them people? We just started.
No, not
okay.
Online,
all right, Pastor Ben. So tell them people I'll speak to them after my service. After service.
Amen.
All right. Okay, so before we get into today's message, I want to thank God for one more very important piece of evidence that a friend named Ivan sent me the other day last night, because while I was reading this, and I want you guys to go to Matthew chapter 24 as well, while I was reading this, the Lord said, there's one more piece of evidence, because I was reading this, I think, Thursday. I have no... On Matthew chapter 24, verse 41.
I'll move those back there.
Oh, it's okay. It's good. Okay. You in Matthew chapter 24?
Amen.
All right. Now, we know this day is coming. Listen, I've got to tell you guys something. There's one prophetic event in the world that's going to change the whole world that the whole body of Christ is waiting for. Rather, they have lived in Christ and they are waiting for their resurrected bodies, or rather, we are still walking around. There is a prophetic date, a prophetic event that is going to change the world, and that is what the whole world is waiting for. Even Luciferians are waiting for it.
Yes.
So please don't tell me. I was trying to witness to a guy. He had a little Freemason ring on, and I'm telling him about the rapture, and he's like, "Oh, we know about the rapture." Wow. He's like, "We're waiting for it too."
Wow, that's deep.
So I was like, "Wow, okay." Let me get away from you. Because we're waiting for two different reasons.
Right.
So, this event is happening. At what time is the event supposed to happen? When is the next harvest of the world? When is the... We already had a harvest leave, okay? Elohim Akhlai, right? God is a farmer. He's already grabbed a harvest of righteous people out of the world. When did he do that? Right after he resurrected from the grave. Then it says, all the Old Testament saints, all those people, he said, tombs broke open. And it says, and they came to life, and they went into the holy city, right? And so that event, that barley harvest, is already gone. God is still a farmer.
Yes.
He has another harvest that has to take place, and he's waiting for that harvest, okay? When we tell people the truth about God, they don't really understand, because it's not church, because church is not the Bible, and the Bible is not church in most cases.
Right.
You have to understand, if I'm going to be a part of something, I want to know what the plan is.
Amen.
And God wants us to know he has a plan. And the plan is everybody that is a part of Christ. I don't care if you, Peter, Paul, John, you are waiting on a day of rapture and resurrection, because you want your resurrected body.
Mm-hmm.
And right. So that day is coming. And it happens at Pentecost.
Yeah.
Pentecost is the wheat harvest. I don't want to go back and do the same scriptures that I've done all these times, but the wheat harvest, you got barley, you got wheat, you got fruit. Okay? Now, God wants to give us a hint to let us know when this event is going to happen. And he put it right in Matthew chapter 24, and nobody ever knew. Here it goes. But I said it the other night. I said, I got to look it up.
Oh,
and Ivan looked it up for me. Okay, so here it is. Matthew chapter 24, we're reading in verse 1. It says we're in chapter 24, verse 40. And it says two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Okay? The word taken, we've gone over it. Paralambano, it means to be taken as a friend or a companion. The word left, aphame, I believe in Greek, means to divorce. Okay? So he's talking about two people that he knows. He's not talking about strangers. He's talking about a group of people that I'm done with you. And he's talking about a group of people I'm bringing you into my kingdom as a friend or a companion. Is it okay? Okay, good. So, this event is happening. This is why God put it into scripture, because the event is going to happen,
yeah.
Okay? And so this is what we're waiting on. Now, it says here after that, It says, two women will be grinding with hand at the mill. One will be taken and the other one left. Why are they grinding at the mill? You're grinding wheat, or you can be grinding barley, but the barley harvest is gone. And he's talking about a future event, that because when Jesus harvested the Old Testament saints, there was no reason to leave anybody. There was no two left, one is two have left and one is taken. There wasn't a rapture and a resurrection. Here he's talking about a rapture and a resurrection, because two are in the field, one is taken and the other left. He's talking about a future event, but he said it'll be at a time when two women are grinding at the mill. You grind wheat. You grind barley. You don't grind fruit. That's the tribulation saints, right?
Amen.
Unless you're making a smoothie. So you grind wheat, right? So here God has given us a hint that it's going to be during the time of the wheat harvest, because two women will be grinding at the mill. I never stopped to say, why are they grinding at the mill? And then you got two that are in the field. One is taken and the other one left. Then you also happen to have in Luke, two will be in the bed, one will be taken and the other one left. So somewhere somebody's sleeping, somewhere somebody's in the field,
right.
And in the daytime grinding meal, and then somewhere else someone's in the bed sleep. So the world is, I don't care, you flat earth people, listen. Somewhere in the world is day and somewhere in the world is night.
That's right.
Okay? But God is letting you know the event is going to happen. We can be like the world and pretend. Even if it didn't happen today or tomorrow, I guarantee you one thing. Just like the sun comes up every morning, there will be a rapture. Okay? And you still have to be ready.
Amen.
Okay? And you still have to live for Jesus, all right? God told me, what? I forget that year, Pastor Ben. Was it 2010? 2010. He said a lot of those people were there.
2010.
Trying to marry me, and they didn't even love me.
Right. That was 22.
Because if you rich, there's a lot of people want to marry you. You can be snotty-nosed, unattractive. They just want to marry you. Okay? People find out about the rapture. Oh, I want Jesus. I want Jesus, right? But if the rapture doesn't happen, they like, how many people are like, hey, I'm moving back with my girl. I'm going back to the casino. You know, do you love Jesus or do you not love Jesus?
Amen.
And I think God knows, okay? Because there's a scripture that says God is not mocked, okay? This is an incredible thing that Jesus has done for us to bring us into this family of believers that's going to experience eternal life, okay? Somebody had to die, and somebody had to be the first one to resurrect out of the ground. And I don't mean come back to life like Lazarus, because poor Lazarus had to die again. Poor guy. I was like, man, that was fun. Lazarus had to die again. We're talking about being resurrected in a body that is incredible. I mean, we're talking about sitting down and being able to eat with people, but if the door is locked, I'll walk in anyway.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about, I'm here, but now I can be there. We're talking about a different type of body. There are people in heaven, in spiritual bodies right now, who belong to Christ, who are waiting for a resurrected body. Because there are some people in heaven in resurrected body, and Jesus is one of them, and the Old Testament saints are the other, and the people who have died in Christ in spiritual bodies, like, when is the resurrection? Because we want our bodies too.
Yes.
And that's what Thessalonians is talking about, because we will not leave before they leave. Those who have been waiting will get their resurrected bodies first. Amen. Then those who are still walking around will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will ever be with the Lord. This is the hope that we have as Christians.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Amen.
And there's a real war going on trying to keep you away from it. All right. And one of the wars is, see, I told you, if the rapture don't happen, girl, you need to go back to Tyrone and apologize. Because you know he was a good man. Because I'm telling you how the human mind is weird. Because Satan wants you back, and he's looking for any reason to pull you back away from life, because he knows eternity is a long time. And I plan on spending it with Jesus.
Yes, yes.
I want to explain to you guys. You see up on that board right there? You can look at it. I'm going to stay right here, Pastor Ben. You could.
You got it.
That board is a, what's that first symbol that's laying down right there? That's infinity. That means, that's eternity, right? That's eternal life. Somebody who already had eternity living in them had to take that position and then stand up to the next position, which is what? An eight. And what's the eight stands for? A new beginning. Someone had to die and then stand up to give you a new beginning. And that's why I love that symbol, infinity. Me and Pastor Ben had a waitress. She had that symbol on her. And I was explaining to her about Christ, because I wanted her to know that what that symbol means. That symbol means that is someone who has been living forever, who had to lie down and then rise up to give you a new beginning.
Amen.
And so now that we have this, and now that we are at this day, at this moment, at this time, past the 6,000 year, Israel, this is would be their 70th birthday. We are in the middle of prophecy occurring. And if we don't recognize as Christians and be joyful and waiting for our Lord, then who's going to be? Okay? Because we have a whole group of church. I keep asking God, why is Satan so interested in church people? Why is it that he opens churches? When I found out that the Freemasons in Long Beach own 22 churches in Long Beach, a Freemason lodge owns 22 churches in Long Beach. And I was kind of like, wow. But someone told me that they celebrated, they celebrate the Masons every year at their church, the little Baptist church there on 10th Street. Not this one, but the one farther down. He said, oh, they come in and they wear their little scarves and the whole thing, and we honor them for all the things that they're doing in the community. I was like, y'all honor the Freemasons? So I knew that something was going on there, but I didn't know they had 22 churches like that. So somehow Satan is interested in churches, and I want to know, why is he so interested in building churches? Because if you build a church, somebody gonna get saved in there. You know what I mean? I got saved at a horrible church. There was nothing Jesus going, except Jesus. Okay, but there was a lot of stuff going on at that church that was not, but I got saved there and I got out of there. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I'm in rant and rave, and I could do that all day. All right, so here we go. So anyway, she's grinding at the mill, and God is letting you know this is going to be during the wheat harvest when the two are taken, one is left. The Pentecost lasts from this evening to Monday evening, which is one day for God. And I hope in the middle of that next 24 hours after it hits here that I am no longer here, because I'm looking forward to it. I need to continue to show you guys this, because the 8 is the new beginning. And this scripture is very important, because I'm saying to God, did you write this scripture because you already knew? Let's go to Revelation chapter 1. And this is what it says in verse 10. It says, on the Lord's day, this is John talking, okay? He's about to have this great encounter with God, with Jesus Christ. And he says, on the Lord's day, I was in the spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see, and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. So, John is there when? On the Lord's Day. Why did they start calling it the Lord's Day? Huh? It's not the millennium, because the millennium hasn't started. John hasn't been taken up yet. The Lord's Day is the day that Jesus resurrected. So he says, I was on the Lord's Day. And we're going to look through this, because you have to see that, I hate to say Sunday because people get the idea that, I'm going to say on the first day of the week. Okay, you guys know that Sunday is the first day of the week, right? Okay, because some people think Monday is the first day of the week. And Monday is the first day you got to go to work.
Right.
But Sunday is the first day of the week, okay? And it's always been the first day of the week. So I want you to look at this on the board. You can look at it on the board again, but I got to take this one down. Okay. Now you see that? Here we go. Yom Rishon in Hebrew is Sunday. Okay? That's the name of our Hebrew ministry school, right? Rishon Messianic Bible College, which means the first Messianic Bible College. So Yom Rishon means the first, okay? Because God doesn't have names for days. He has numbers. Yom Shani is the second, which is what we call Monday. Yom Shlishi is what we call Tuesday, which is the third day. Yom Revi is what we call Wednesday, which is the fourth day. Yom Hamashi is Thursday, which is what we call the fifth day. Yom Shishi is what we call Friday, which they call is the God calls the sixth day. And then Yom Shabbat is the day he rested, right? So now, After Shabbat, then what happens? What happens after Shabbat? You start a new week, right? So then the eighth day has to be a very important day for God. But what's the eighth day? we go back to Sunday, right? So Sunday is the first day and Sunday is the eighth day. Why did God do it like this? Because Sunday is the day that God began his creation. Shabbat is the time he rested, but we have another day coming that's going to be called Shmini Atzeret, which the Jews celebrate, and they call it the eighth day. On the eighth day in the future, there's no more counting. So after God rests on Shabbat for the thousand-year millennium, after that thousand years, God says that'll be the eighth day, and there'll be no more counting. So I want to show you this today. And I'm going to try to stay exactly where the Lord wants me to stay. Okay, here we are. Grab my book. Okay, let's go to Leviticus chapter 23. God's like, you know you don't need no notes. Go to Leviticus chapter 23. Because you guys know we're only leaving for 7 years, right?
Right.
Did you guys know that?
Yes.
We're leaving for 7 years. You're coming back. Okay, you're coming back because Israel still needs to be rescued.
Yes.
What's that? Leviticus chapter 23.
Yes.
Okay. Let me see where we have this at. Okay. 15th and 21st, the symbol. You shall gather and celebrate 7 days. Nations. Okay, you guys there?
Yeah.
All right, let's begin to read because we're talking about tabernacles here. Okay, it says, the Lord said to Moses, say to the Israelites, on the 15th day of the seventh month, the Lord's Feast of Tabernacle begins. It is the last. It is to last for 7 days. The first day is to be a secret assembly. Do no regular work. For 7 days, present an offering made to the Lord by fire. And on the eighth day, hold a secret assembly and present an offering made to the Lord by fire. It is the closing assembly. Do no regular work. So, the first time I heard a rabbi say that, I went, it must be a mistake. There's no eighth day of the week. And it's explained to me the eighth day is you're getting back to Sunday. You understand? So the eighth day, there is a reason why Jesus Christ, the number of Jesus Christ's name in Greek is 888. Why? He's a new beginning. He is eternity that laid down and stood up and became eight. He became the new beginning. So when you get back to Sunday, it's going to be the first day of the week, which what God calls the eighth day. Because remember, 6,000 years, I want my wife. 1,000 years, millennium. What happens after the 7,000? God says an eighth day will begin, but there'll be no more counting. That's eternity. Okay? That's the new heaven and the new earth. Okay, let's go. And we're going to start our study here. Is it here? Yep, it's here. Okay. Let's go to the book of John. I believe.
First, second, thing.
No, the Gospel of John. On the first day of the week. What in the heck is going on? Okay, yes, I found it. Okay. Okay, so we're going to be in John chapter 20, verse 1.
Say, John, my daughter.
John.
Yeah, no, in the book of John, chapter 20. Let's go to verse 19. Let's go to verse 19. John chapter 20, verse 19.
Amen.
Here it is. It says, then the same day at evening, beginning the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, were the disciples assembled for the fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be to you." Now, that happened on the first day. I'm sorry, let's go back to Matthew chapter 28, verse 1. You guys ready? It says, now, after the Sabbath, what's the day after the Sabbath?
Eighth day.
Okay, and that is Sunday, right?
Yeah.
When did Jesus resurrect from the grave?
Eighth day.
Sunday, right? Early Sunday morning. Listen what they call it here. Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord had descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. He continued, his countenance was like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow, and his and the guards shook for fear of him, and they became like dead men. But an angel answered and said to the woman, "Do not be afraid. I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen," he said. "Come to see where the Lord laid." Okay, so this is on Yom Rishon. This is on the first day of the week that they're going to the tomb. And on that Sunday morning, when they go to the tomb, they realize that Jesus is now gone. So what day did Jesus resurrect from the grave? Early on Sunday morning, what the scriptures call what? The first day of the week, okay? And so when John says it was on the Lord's day, he's saying, this is called the Lord's Day because this is the day that Jesus resurrected. In Revelation 1, starts off by letting you know that this happened on the Lord's Day. Now, why would it be at this particular time that Pentecost would land on Yom Rishon on Sunday? I want to know, did God already know that it would be on Sunday? And if he did, thank you, let's go.
Amen.
So I hope you're understanding that.
Amen.
Okay, now, in Acts chapter 20, verse 17, let's read there. It says, now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, preached to them and continued his message until midnight. So I want to ask you the question, why are they meeting on the first day of the week? Because Paul, they met there to break bread and for Paul to preach. Why are they meeting on a Sunday and Paul is preaching? It said Paul preached till midnight. And then it said a kid fell out of the tree. And then Paul prayed for him and brought him back to life and then continued preaching till early in the morning. So they're meeting on Sunday. They're breaking bread, they're preaching, he's preaching a message, and all the disciples are meeting there. Why would they be meeting on a Sunday? Because you guess what? All of them were Jews. So why are they meeting on a Sunday? Because Sunday became the Lord's Day.
Yeah.
And this isn't the first time that they met. There were other assemblies that began happening on what they call the Lord's Day. Okay? So, a Seventh-day event is that, they will lose their mind. Because to them, Sunday is an evil day. How is Sunday an evil day if Jesus resurrected on Sunday?
Right.
And when did Satan create a day?
Yeah.
I don't see Satan anywhere in the beginning going, and Satan created Tuesday.
Right.
It's nowhere said. God created all days. All days belong to God. Yeah. God created the Shabbat, and God created Sunday. And Sunday is the morning that Jesus Christ resurrected. Yeah. And the disciples started meeting and breaking bread and preaching the gospel on Sunday. Yeah. Now, did they ignore the Sabbath? No. But Sunday became a special day. Why? It is the eighth day of the week. Why did God make Sunday a special day?
The resurrection.
It's the new beginning. Amen. Let's continue here. Okay, let's go to let's go back to Genesis chapter 1.
Genesis chapter 1.
Because there's things we need to know and understand.
Did God name the days Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday?
Who asked him that?
One online.
No, Sunday is the worship of the sun god Ra. Saturday is the worship of Saturn, the god of the Catholic Church. Then you got Phrygia, which is the sexual goddess. Yeah, all the days are named after pagan gods, okay? All your months are named after pagan gods, okay? Except for what? September, October, those are numbers, okay? Mm-hmm. But if October is 8, why is it the 10th month?
Right.
So it means somebody changed something, right?
Satan changed it.
Okay. So, in Genesis, and I am chapter 1, I want to make sure that we get this completely. Okay, now watch this. Genesis chapter 1. And I have to tell people, don't get mad at me, because you can go study Hebrew too. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through 27. It says, then God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In his image, God created them, male and female. He created them, right? How many of you guys know that says mankind and not God created a Adam, one Adam? Because if God only created one Adam on that day, okay, and he only recreated one woman on that day, and they had two kids, and one of the kids killed the other kid, and then the other kid says, I don't want to go out there because somebody might kill me.
Right.
Then God would have immediately said to him, what is your problem? I only made two of you, and you had two kids, and now I'm kicking you out. That means there's only three of you left. So why is it that Cain is scared to go out there? Because the rabbi pulled me aside and said, God created mankind on that day. I said, mankind, it says Adam. It says Adam can be mankind or it can mean man. Mm-hmm. So he says, look at what's going on here, okay? And then look here. Now it says thus. It says in Genesis chapter 2, it says, thus the heavens and the earth, chapter 2, verse 1, thus the heavens and the earth were complete in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing, and so on the seventh day, he rested from all of his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all of his work and all the creation that he had done. Now, Genesis chapter 2, verse 5. No shrub had yet appeared on the earth. No plant had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no one to work the ground. You see that? Do you know when that happened, when he's saying that? This is after the Shabbat. God already rested on his Sabbath, and now he's saying, look,
There's no shrub and there's no plants that have sprung up after the Sabbath. But in Genesis chapter 1, verse 11 through 13, it says, let the Lord produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants, trees on the land that bear fruit with seeds in it according to the various kind, and it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their own kind, and trees bearing fruit with seeds in it according to their own kind, and God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, and that was the third day. So now why is it on the eighth day? He's saying there's no vegetation and no seed. He's talking about a different plot of land. You understand? Because if he's already made plants and he's already made fruit and God has already said it's good, where is this place right now that he's getting ready to create a man? And he says there's no vegetation, there's no fruit because God had not caused it to water there yet. So we have to understand on the eighth day, God is going to do something new. And what's he going to do? He's going to create the first Adam. What do you mean the first Adam? He already made Adam in Genesis chapter 21. No, this Adam is going to be a prophetic Adam to begin the prophecy about Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And so he creates a man and he brings him, he creates the man from the ground. He brings this man from the dust of the ground, right? And he does it on the eighth day. Did anybody else come out of the ground on the eighth day that we know about? Jesus came out of the ground on the eighth day. He was resurrected out of the ground on the eighth day. That's what you have to understand. Now I'm starting to mirror. What am I doing? I'm creating this Adam because now I'm going to prophesy. What are you going to prophesy about? I'm going to prophesy about this first Adam, because this first Adam is going to be a replica of the second Adam who's going to come later. We there? So now I'm creating the first Adam. The first thing I want to do with this Adam is this. Look, Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 through 9. It says, then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils, and he breathed life, and the man became a living being. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east in Eden, and there he put the man, okay, that he had formed. So where he put him? In the garden, right? This is a special part of earth. The Lord God made all kinds of trees out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye, good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So they're not in the general population. They're in the garden. And now God says, because you're representing the second Adam, now we have to do this. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. The Lord said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. Verse 22. It says, so the Lord caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib that he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. So what has to happen? That means the second Adam has to be put to sleep, and the second Adam has to be pierced in his side, and whatever comes out of his side has to produce a bride. And then once what comes out of his side produces a bride, it says, and he brought the woman to Adam. That means you have to be delivered to the second Adam. That means God's not going to bring Adam down here to you. God's going to take you to Adam, which is what Jesus promised in John chapter 14. Yeah. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you that where I am, you may be also. This is why when you see people say, oh, no, there's not going to be a rapture, you're nuts, because Jesus says we're going up there. And God created a second Adam to let you know that he takes the bride to Adam. Okay? Because the reason he's creating a man on the eighth day is he's creating him to prophesy to you about the second Adam. The scriptures, they have the first Adam and they have the last Adam.
Yes.
Your plan is being told to you. Listen, this is why the rapture is not a fantasy. This is why the rapture is not something that God is just talking about to have something to talk about. God is telling you, this is my plan. You're in the earth. Yes, out of his side came the blood and the water, and that blood covenant and that water baptism is why you're a part of the bride. But you being a part of the bride only means that after I create you, I got to take you to the Adam.
Yes.
Okay? And he presents her to Adam. Okay? Miss V. I have to continue here. I don't want to read all that. Okay, here, let's go here. Let's go back. I'm trying to figure out where, because I want to show you something. I want you to understand that Adam, mankind that was created, they were not all put in the garden. I want you to understand that the Adam that was put in the garden is Jesus. He's representing Jesus. You understand? He's put to sleep. Did Adam sin before God put him to sleep?
No.
No. So that means he was put to sleep without any sin, because he hadn't sinned yet, right?
Right.
Same as the future Adam, okay? I want you to understand that God is already planning your future in Genesis, and he's already planning that his son, or this created son of his, is going to have a bride.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
Let's see. Let's go to John chapter 19. First Adam and the last Adam. You're in John chapter 19? Okay. Then it says here, the soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first man, who had been crucified with Christ, and then those of the other. But when they came to Jesus and found that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, bringing forth the flow of blood and water. So that means both Adams have now been pierced in the side. I want us to go to John chapter. Go back to John chapter 3. Go back to John chapter 3. Verse 5. Verily I tell you that no one will enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of the water and of the Spirit. So the water that came out of Jesus Christ, is that part of your new birth?
Yes.
I'm going to read Hebrew chapter 9, verse 22. You don't have to go there. In fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. So by the blood and by the water is why you're a part of the bride.
Yes.
Okay? The scriptures is telling you your plan. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17, says, after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. And so this rapture that is about to take place is that now you need to be taken to the bride. Now, when you're taken to the bride, let's think about this. When you're taken to the bride or to the bridegroom, what does Adam say when he receives his bride? You know what he says? Now, flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone, right? What is he saying? Someone just like me. Okay? When you're getting resurrected, guess who you're going to be? Just like Jesus. You're going to be in a resurrected body. You're going to be able to do all the things that he did in his resurrected body when he was on earth, and all the things that he's doing in his resurrected body in heaven. You are going to be bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, someone just like Jesus. Yeah. Because we fight for the opportunity to become just like his, to be a part of the same glory that he experienced after resurrecting from the grave. Yeah. We want our resurrected bodies.
Yeah. Amen.
And so we're going to be just like him.
Yeah.
And the scripture says that. You will be just like him. You will know him as he is. You will be in a resurrected body in the presence of your husband. And he's going to go, wow, look at you. You're just like me.
Yeah.
Now somebody I can communicate with. Ooh. You understand? I just want to, no, we don't have to read that no more. Okay. That was a lot, but I have to finish that.
That was good.
Okay. I want us to go to Philippians chapter 2, and then we're going to finish up. I want to ask you a question before I begin reading Philippians chapter 22. The prophecy about Israel going into slavery for 400 years, did that happen? Did Israel go into, did the Jews go into mistreatment and slavery for 400 years? Yes. Okay. It was written before it happened. Okay. Was there ever a child born of a virgin in Bethlehem? Did that ever happen? How long was it prophesied before it happened? Quite some time, right? Did Israel ever become a nation again?
Yes.
After being gone for 2,520 years? Oh, so it happened, huh? Okay, let's see. Did Israel ever, was Israel ever punished in Gomer, and God considered them not to be his people, and they were punished in Gomer? Gomer means Germany. But God told Hosea to marry Gomer because God knew this is going to happen in Germany. Did Israel ever get punished in Germany and they were not his people and were treated bad? Yes. So Hosea is written at least 1,000 years before that event happens. Okay. So this is what I want to say. Did Gaza, was Gaza ever forsaken? Because Zephaniah says that Gaza will be forsaken.
Yes.
In 2005, Gaza was forsaken. Is Damascus a heap of rubble?
Yes it is.
Yes, it is. How long ago was that written? So your event was written about, because your event, look, we're like the people that are waiting before Jesus was born.
Yeah.
You know what all they talked about? Our Messiah's coming. Our Messiah's coming. Or he's going to be born of a virgin. He's going to come. He's going to overrule the Roman government. He's going to set us back in. Then after that, everybody, all the Jews were saying, oh, we're going back to our land because the scripture says he's going to take us back to our land. Look, in Ezekiel 39, it says the dry bones are going to put on flesh and go back to the land. Oh, we're going back to our land. How long did they wait on that before it happened?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, it was there. The rapture is no different than any other biblical event that has already happened. The problem is, when people are waiting a long time, the 10 virgins all fall asleep. And God wants to know, when I come, will I find faith? Or will I find people who say nothing's going to happen, even though the rest of the Bible came true? Everything. But this one thing, he's just not going to happen. So I'm not going to stay ready. I'm going to go back in the world. And what's in the world? What's in the world for us? Nothing. There's nothing in the world. We know that the world is a whole lot worse than it was when we were kids. Okay? A whole lot worse. So here, let's start in Philippians chapter 2. I got a pastor now. It says, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose, doing nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should not look should look not only to your own interests, but also the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ, who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to hold on to or to grasp, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. He was made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death on the cross. Therefore, God has exalted him to the highest place and gave him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Did we understand what we just read? It said Jesus came in the form of a man. Who made him nothing? He said, He made himself nothing. He made himself nothing. You understand? Even though it says being in the likeness and having the equality with God, he's like, I'm going to make myself a servant and do what I need to do to get these people saved. Yeah. But he was God. And in his humility, and he says, now, if you're going to be like this, he says, if you have Jesus in you, do what Jesus did. What did he do? Why is it that Jesus is going to be honored? He made himself obedient unto death. Can we do that? I mean, you ain't even got to die. Just make yourself obedient. Can we just do that part? That's all he wants. Like, you ain't got to go to the cross. Jesus then already did that for you. But he said he made himself obedient unto death. Okay? So who made him obedient? Because he's God. You spit on me, I could slap you around and do some things, right? He said he made himself obedient, right? You gonna nail me to a cross? I could call legions of angels and wipe all of you out. No, I'm going to make myself obedient. Okay? I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to let you guys put nails in me. I'm even let you spit on me. I'm going to do all of this. Now, understand this. When you say you're fighting against sin, okay, sometimes you're fighting against sin. But look, God says in this body, you have to make decisions. And those decisions have to be decisions of obedience. Because if you don't want to be obedient, you don't have to be. Do you guys understand that? Amen. Nobody here has to live for God. You are not forced. The police will not knock on your door, I guarantee you, and say, you fornicating in there? It's against the law. Are you lying to people? No, because a lot of that stuff in the physical realm is not against the law in the physical realm. It's only against the law in the spiritual realm.
Yeah.
I'm more afraid of the spiritual jail than I am the physical jail. I do 10 years. Man. I could do 10 years, come out. I've known people. One guy we had here, he went to jail when I was in 1980 and got out in 2011. He's now a minister at his church, back with his family, doing great. You can do years. But you're talking about if something is spiritually illegal, what is the punishment?
Eternal
hell. Okay? So don't let, and I want to say it the way the Lord, don't let the rapture be the reason you live for Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
That's just crazy. It's like, don't let the man's money be the only reason you marry him.
Amen.
Basically, I would tell my daughter that, don't let the money be the only reason you're marrying him. Because if you're just marrying him for the money, when he starts acting crazy, what are you going to do?
Mm.
You know what I mean? If you marry him, if you're going to get married, marry for the right reason.
Yes.
And if you're going to be in love with Jesus, be in love with Jesus for the right reasons. And if anybody that marries you wants to know that you truly love them. And love has tests.
Yes.
Love has tests. You might have to go home and say, you know, I lost my job. Mm. And she pack her bags like, well, I can't be with no brother, ain't got no ends. The love just got tested, right? So I'm saying you're going to have tests in life. There are going to always be opportunities to do things that aren't right. It's what's the decision you're going to make when it comes to it.
Amen.
I believe in all my heart, this is Pentecost. It is the wheat harvest. It is the time for the church to go. Okay? The harvest is something that's going to happen. Okay? The church can't be here in the tribulation.
Right.
And it will not be here in the tribulation.
Amen.
Okay? We are leaving, but you have to understand something. Are you in love with Jesus or are you in love with the rapture?
Mm.
Because I've been here before.
Yeah.
I've seen this before. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Now look, we weren't past the 6,000 year. We weren't past the 120th Jubilee. We weren't in the 70th year of Israel. We've passed a lot of really good prophecies now.
Yeah.
And now we're getting closer and closer. And here we are on the wheat day of the harvest for the next 24 hours. And you're telling me that this event is not going to happen in the world. I'm telling you this event's going to happen. It's going to happen. And I tell you, you will be able to sustain it. Since 2010, when it didn't happen,
yeah.
Me and Pastor Ben been doing the exact same thing. Okay? To hearing Lloyd still loving Jesus,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Amen.
Don't let that be why you love Jesus.
Right.
Don't let that be it. You've got to love him with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. Why? You know what? If Jesus says, you know what? I've decided that I'm not going to rapture. You know what I would have to think about? I'm not a lustful, profanity, criminal-minded, weird man anymore.
That's right.
I'm a good husband, good father, and a minister. How'd you do that? I've got to think about all the incredible things that God has done in my life. Now, one thing I know that you guys don't know, and I don't think we have enough time to prove it now because I think we're getting raptured. If you stop sinning, God will bless you so much that you can't stop the blessings from coming.
Amen.
If you stop sinning.
Right.
Because you're no different than Israel. All he wanted Israel, he says, if you obeyed me, he says he would bless them beyond,
yeah.
I mean, throughout the world. They would be famous throughout the world.
Yeah.
If you stop sinning, God will bless you beyond borders.
Yeah.
Your limitations are not you. Because there's a whole lot of really uneducated people that are doing quite well. So failure is based on how you living.
Say that.
Because I don't know a parent in the world that buy a raggedy old F bringing home kid. He bringing F's home and he's bringing and he's stealing and you like, and I just gonna want to bless you with a new bike for all the F's you brought home and D's. What parent does that? You don't. You think God's a parent?
Yes,
God's a parent. Okay? It's Pentecost, you guys. There's only three times God can harvest, and I feel bad that I have to tell people this. The wheat harvest is now. Okay? There won't be another wheat harvest till next year. People are saying, oh, maybe the calendars, maybe it might be 6 or 7 days off. I pray it is. If it doesn't happen today or tomorrow, I pray the calendar's off and we have 6 days.
Yeah.
I pray that. But I guarantee you one thing, it's not the reason why I'm living for Jesus. Okay?
Amen.
It has to be for more. All right? But one thing for absolute sure. If Israel is a nation right now, because God said so 2,520 years ago, and they went through Holocaust and everything, and they're in their land, one of the most powerful nations in the world,
yes.
And they are about the size of Inglewood. And you're going, I wonder if God's going to keep this other promise. It's going to be a glorious day. It's going to be a glorious day.
Yes.
Okay? It's going to be a glorious day for people who decide to live for God. I'm going to say one more thing, and this is then the Lord wants me to end with this. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the first thing you have to do is repent.
Yes.
You cannot accept Jesus without repenting first. What does repenting mean? It means to change your mind. When you change your mind about sinning, it doesn't mean you changed your behavior. You get that? You change your mind. God says, I just need something to start with. If you say I'm a sinner and I want to do better, I'll give you my spirit, and my spirit will change your behavior. But you have to start off by confessing that you're a sinner. Because a lot of us gave our lives to Christ and we thought, oh my goodness, I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning, a halo's going to be on my head, and I'm never going to sin again. And you lied when you said that. Right? But the Holy Spirit inside of each and everyone has seen us through good times and bad times.
Yeah.
And if anybody here says you've been perfect, you're lying again. You need to repent again. Okay? But I made up my mind that what I was doing was against God, and he gave me a spirit and changed me inside.
Yeah.
We have today as Pentecost. We got some calendar people that are geniuses that they said, oh, the calendar's a little off. It won't be exactly on the 9th or 10th. It'll be 5 or 6 days later. Either or, I hope it happens the way you say.
Yeah.
One thing for sure, people can't be thinking about being sad and depressed. You're sad. How can you have Jesus and be sad and depressed?
I don't know.
Huh?
Amen.
You can't. You got eternal life. You got the person you're with is a healer. The person you with leads and guides your life. He only asks that you be obedient and stop sinning. The person that you are, that you're with, is watching over everything. And that person is giving you eternal life. You're going to get a resurrected body. You're in good shape either way, right?
Right.
So rejoice in who you are. I'm rejoicing in who I am. Maybe you guys don't remember who you used to be. Okay? I always kind of put a little check on myself, like, okay, remember what you used to be. You're not that bad, but you ain't as bad as you used to be, right?
Amen.
All right?
That's right.
We have to put a check on ourselves. You know what I mean? God has loved us through sin? Did God love you through sin? Okay, it wasn't no accidental sin either, right? Because some of us packed bags and bought plane tickets. I mean, it wasn't no accidental stuff. But what God says is, if you repent, I'll have my spirit in you. My spirit will continue changing you until one day what you used to do don't feel right to you no more. Yeah. You understand?
Yeah.
And that's God. His love is pressing through. It's everlasting. It's staying with us. Why? As long as you repent and we have an honest relationship, we got a chance. Okay? Yeah. Don't shrink back. Okay? Because I know if we got 6 days, there's some people say that the rapture didn't happen on the 9th or the 10th. I'm going back to sinning. Then the trumpet will happen on Wednesday. And they'll go, oh, my God. You understand? Because you got to love Jesus for more than this. You understand?
Amen.
All right. Praise God.
Amen.
All right.
Someone said you have some Catholics watching you now.
Huh?
Someone said you have some Catholics watching you now.
Oh, good.
Amen.
They can watch.
Amen.
Catholicism is